I think today a lot of this is done based on tribal knowledge. A warehouse worker just knows the ebb and the flow of his or her warehouse, where what we want to do is we want to make it so anybody can be a great warehouse employee, and the system is recommending storage locations and routes and picking strategies based on proximity and based on the upcoming orders that need to be fulfilled.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Michael. Michael, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Pytel. I am the co-founder and chief technical officer at Fulfilled, an intelligent warehouse management platform.
Okay, so can you tell us, Michael, a little bit more about Fulfilled apart from intelligent warehouse management platform? Because, you know, that means many things to many people, I'm sure.
It absolutely does. And so we are an SAP partner, first and foremost.
Thank you.
I come from the SAP ecosystem. And we built a platform that brings location awareness to the warehouse. We create what we call the digital twin. And SAP products are absolutely fantastic at making products, shipping products, moving products. And what we do is we add an additional layer of intelligence on top that enables you to understand that this bin one and bin 10, are they 10 feet apart or are they 500 feet apart, right? We bring context to the warehouse so that when it comes to organizing tasks in the warehouse, we can organize them based on location in the warehouse and optimize the way that people navigate inside of the logistics environments.
Okay. So we're seeing, and I did a podcast with a guy called Dr. Albrecht Ricken a few weeks back on this show, where we talked about robotics in warehouses. And similarly, we mentioned that as well in another episode, same week or a week later, with Neil Patel and Sam Carter. So if I'm asking this, it's because, you know, you talk about location in warehouses and that context, the importance of that context. But is that for like scheduling people to go down to maybe the back of the warehouse and pick up three or four things there while they're down there? Or is it, you know, you're sending robots somewhere and or do they know themselves already because they've got their own inbuilt map? Or, you know, do you see what I'm asking?
Yes, absolutely. And our goal is to be that orchestration platform for both human beings and robotics. Think of it like this. The warehouse of the future, as we know, is robots and human beings, right? Until we can build the robot with the dexterity of the hand, there will still need to be humans in the warehouse. And because we are location aware, we can navigate robots separately than human beings. We are essentially organizing the tasks in SAP, in SAP EWM, in a way that is logical, in the way that we build routes, and then we can avoid the human being to robot collision. We can have the robot navigate behind the human being. We can also coordinate forklifts and other heavy equipment machinery so that as a forklift is navigating down an aisle, well, let's not have the robot head down that aisle. And so robotics platforms can subscribe to our task engine, or that we call them pub sub operations. They subscribe to a list of tasks. And then our platform says, we're going to give these tasks to those warehouse workers on foot because they're a low bin and they have actual bins where they're doing piece picking. But this robot from, let's say, Boston Dynamics, we're going to send the robot over in this area and he's going to do that work there. And this forklift driver, we're going to send them on a larger route to go get more product to restock or replenish a staging area. So we aim to be that total orchestration platform, robotics plus human beings.
Okay. And you talk about a digital twin for the warehouse. Is that this, or is that something separate from this?
It's exactly this, right? So the digital twin, when it came to manufacturing robotics, was we connect to the controllers of the robotics or the PLC controllers on the manufacturing floor. We put sensors for temperature and sound and vibration so that we could understand, we could create a digital twin on the manufacturing floor. Well, in the warehouse, a digital twin is a digital representation of all of your racks, all of your bins, all of your staging areas, your shipping area, receiving area, kitting, packaging areas, so that we are location aware, so that we can help employees put away things more effectively. Meaning, because we have a digital representation in the warehouse and we know what is closer to the dock and what is farther away from the dock, if product comes into the building and we know that that product is not on a sales order today for or a delivery today, but it's going to be on a delivery tomorrow, the next day, let's keep it close. I think today, a lot of this is done based on tribal knowledge. A warehouse worker just knows the ebb and the flow of his or her warehouse, where what we want to do is we want to make it so anybody can be a great warehouse employee, and the system is recommending storage locations and routes and picking strategies based on proximity and based on the upcoming orders that need to be fulfilled.
Okay. And how will this impact warehouse operations, do you think?
Well, naturally, I mean, the first thing that I, you know, when I went into this thinking, number one, when I was 19, 20, 21, I worked in a warehouse, and I remember, you know, grabbing sales orders off a printer and walking down the aisle, and in my head, I was always trying to grab orders and organize them in a way so I didn't have to double back, right? Reduce my footsteps, reduce the energy that I had to put out to complete activities.
They say so something about great innovation coming from people who are lazy, or the some better way of putting that doesn't sound as insulting, but...
You're absolutely right. You know, I always wanted to have that most picks number, and I think gamification is something we can talk about later, but... yeah, so as I was a warehouse worker, I was trying to organize my thoughts or organize my documents. So I was picking similar product because the system wasn't doing it for me. And this way, again, we're trying to do that. And, you know, through the global pandemic, we've also added features in the platform for social distancing to keep employees away from each other. Right.
Nice.
So we're structuring order picking in a way that if you had to do a social distance in a warehouse, we can enable that as best as we can. The other thing is just avoiding collisions with machinery and equipment too. Sending forklifts on certain paths and people on other paths for safety reasons. So the benefits are reduced number of footsteps. Ideally, we increase safety. We increase pick velocity, right? So more picks per hour. And then through understanding how human beings are picking product, we build machine learning models now. We have built machine learning models now, that make staffing recommendations, because I think that's one of the largest contributors to the total cost of operation of a warehouse is staffing. And so we try to make predictions as to what your staffing levels should be based on historical data, based on the footsteps that people are using, and based on your upcoming orders.
And so is that machine learning data, is that specific to an individual warehouse, or is that an overall thing that you apply to all the warehouses that, you know? So what I'm trying to get to is, a lot of this machine learning stuff, for want of a proper technical phrase, is, you know, the learning comes from data, but the data is obviously quite different depending on the warehouse, depending on the industry it's for, depending on its region, depending on, you know, lots of different parameters. So I would assume that you're taking data from individual warehouses, applying machine learning to those, and then making the recommendations based on that. Or am I wrong there?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, SCP's machine learning for cash application is so great out of the box because an invoice looks like an invoice all across the world. And so they can take their machine learning model and apply it to multiple customers, and it works. In our scenarios, you're right. Some customers have 50,000 SKUs. Some customers have 200,000 SKUs. Warehouse size varies. Team size varies. And so we're a young startup, right? This is still our first year. And right now, yes, the customer needs to operate in our platform. We need to begin collecting the data so that we can make recommendations for staffing long-term. We do have the ability to look at picks, but if you don't understand that employee data and you can't blend it, then it's very difficult to build a model that can make a prediction or help you set some boundaries around what's your minimum requirement, maximum requirement for staffing. So yes, we need the data. We needed them to exist in the platform so that we can capture that location data to make staffing recommendations.
And then there's always the garbage in, garbage out problem. How do you avoid the machine learning getting bad data and making terrible recommendations?
Yeah, exactly right. No, I had an opportunity once to work on a machine learning model that helped identify fish for the Federal Fishing Wildlife Service. And you're absolutely right. You have to have a human being double check this data. And so as data comes into the platform and we understand the current staffing models, we do have essentially a dashboard where warehouse manager, warehouse operator can confirm our results, confirm what we're seeing. And then that is how we essentially prevent sort of bad data, bad decision-making getting into the machine learning model.
Okay. And you mentioned as well that the software can pick locations. How does that work versus the tribal knowledge that you talked about?
That's absolutely right. So I think, you know, if your listeners have more than likely been in a warehouse at one point, and there's typically the warehouse employee that has been there for 5, 10, 15 years, and they just know the ebb and the flow of the environment. They know that when a certain product or category comes in, that it's, hey, this is a slow-moving product. It's a C in our ABC classification. We're going to put it up high because we don't need it that often, and we want it out of the way. And then there's another product comes in. It's an A. It's a high-moving. They're going to keep it low, and so it can be picked very quickly because it's a high moving product. So that tribal knowledge is built into that person. Well, what if that person leaves or you hire more people? We want to reduce the dependency on tribal knowledge. So using a different type of machine learning, a machine learning model called a bin packing algorithm, how many objects can I fit in a space? So we understand the bin's locations, whether that's a plastic bin or it's a shelf or it's a staging area on the floor. We understand its location. We understand its dimensions. And then our machine learning model can say, all right, your material master says this product is this dimensions and you have 1,000 of it coming in. Here is the open available space in the warehouse. So we want to use dynamic storage locations, meaning the system is going to recommend a storage location based on available space, based on the ABC classification, pick velocity, and based on the upcoming orders. So, you know, I had the opportunity to tour a candy factory, which is quite fun, right, to tour a candy factory. Chocolates and caramels and everything else in between. And chocolates always went on one shelf. Candy bars always went on this shelf. And it was in the back of the warehouse, and it always went there because that's where somebody put a label. Not necessarily because someone said, this is a high-moving product. It needs to go here or there or slow-moving product. And so we want to bring that dynamic storage locations into the warehouse to further optimize the warehouse operations.
And I can imagine, but tell me, because I've never really worked in warehousing. So I can imagine that problem you talk about is some guy 15, 20 years ago stuck a label on a shelf, and therefore that's where the, in this case, candy has always gone. How widespread is that versus using dynamic placement of goods?
You know, we've seen it. We continue to see it, which is again the why did we, you know, why did we create, why do we want to have dynamic storage locations in our product? And the reason why is we've toured so many factories, and yes, you'll have a warehouse leader, warehouse operator that'll redesign the shop floor every year or every 2 years or every 5 years, and they'll come in and say, all right, our product has changed. We need to change our storage locations, and they'll go through a big move. And they'll change things up, and it'll be very efficient for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And then seasonality change, product change, customer mix changes. You know, the paper towel industry. Mm. They're used to shipping pallets of product direct to Sam's and Walmart's and et cetera. Now they're doing piece picking. They're sending individual paper towel rolls to customers. That changes the way that the warehouse moves and flows. So we created the dynamic storage locations for that organization that wants to reduce dependency on a single individual or a set of individuals and let the system begin making recommendations. And then this just reduces risk of turnover, people going on vacation or not being able to take vacation because they're so critical to the warehouse operations. We can push that dependency into the machine learning.
Okay. Is it an on-prem or a cloud or a hybrid, or how does that work?
This is a great question. And in the warehouse world, traditionally the most conservative part of our business line, because if you can't ship, you can't invoice. Mm-hmm. And so SAP has multiple deployment options. For right now, our Fulfilled platform is cloud-based only. And we get around the connectivity challenges by having a warehouse scanner that is both 5G cellular plus Wi-Fi. So we operate on the local area network on the Wi-Fi in the warehouse. If the local area network goes down, it falls over to a 5G connection on the device, and that's how we maintain connection to our cloud-based platform. So the application is 100% cloud-based. It is an auto-scaling application with a cloud-based database. On-premise, though, in order to create the digital twin, we do deploy what are called ultra-wideband beacons. They're very similar to the Wi-Fi beacons that you would expect, and they deploy in the ceiling, and that's what helps us create the digital canopy. So there still is a small component in the warehouse to understand location and proximity of people and machinery and equipment, but the application is cloud-based.
Okay, Okay. And just for clarification purposes, the ultra wideband beacons are just ways that things can locate themselves in kind of a 2 or 3D space.
That's right. So I think most of the listeners on the podcast have heard of active RFID, passive RFID, Bluetooth low, BLE, Bluetooth low energy, or Bluetooth beacons. And those technologies were very effective at understanding distance of objects at a very short range, 10 feet, 15 feet, 30 feet. Mm-hmm. Ultra wideband has the ability to approximate an object's location down to 30 centimeters, and a single ultra wideband beacon can cover about 2,000 square feet. So it's much more economical to deploy that technology to understand an object's location. You can cover a wide area of network. It can be mounted in a 39-foot, 24-foot ceiling. It operates in the Wi-Fi spectrum, so that it does have the ability to pass through objects like Wi-Fi does. So it's very effective, very cost-effective, very neat. And I think you're going to hear a lot about ultra-wideband over the coming decade.
Yeah, I think the first time I heard about it was when Apple announced they're putting them into their iPhone 10 or iPhone 11 or one of those recent models of their phone. So it is that was a big boost for the technology, I think.
Absolutely. You know, and ultra wideband also has the capability to do peering, meaning I'm a warehouse worker in the warehouse. There's another warehouse worker standing next to me. We can sense each other's location. And let's say I've got a task queue that's 10 deep. And my buddy here, Joe, he's got a task queue that he's got one. And he's like, hey, you got any extra tasks? And we envision a world where I'm on my device and I do a two-finger swipe up and it sends the task from my device to his device. Because we understand proximity and location and we know that he is 10 degrees to the right and he is 6 feet away, and we swipe and we send the task to him. That's the world that we're thinking of. We are trying to create a team-based concept in Fulfilled. Another problem we've heard about in the warehouse is tasks will get assigned to different teams, and one team will have a task queue that's longer than the other, and the system doesn't adapt. It doesn't change tasks to the other team. They might be in the right location, but they just don't have awareness of that task. And so we envision a world where there's more task sharing, and that's powered by ultra-wideband, understanding where people are in the warehouse and what they might be able to work on because they're just standing in the right place.
And what if I've got a long list of tasks and I just don't want to do them, so I just start swiping them towards all my colleagues?
Gotcha. You know, swipe it and send it to him or her. That'd be awesome. No, you know, there will have to be some business controls. And so in the spirit of wanting to complete tasks, this kind of is a segue into gamification, right? Can we safely gamify the warehouse? We obviously don't want to incentivize people running really fast in the warehouse to get the most picks awards. But can we responsibly collect data about the activities that people are performing in the warehouse and then reward them accordingly?
Super. Okay. If people want to get their hands on Fulfilled for their warehouse, Michael, what do they do?
Well, number one, we are an SAP partner. We're listed on the SAP store. So love to give a shout out to the SAP store and that ecosystem. The other way to find us is at fulfilled.io. That's fulfilled.io. Obviously, we'll put the link in the show notes as well.
Indeed. Yep, sure. Okay, we are coming towards the end of the podcast now, Michael. Is there anything that I've not asked you that you wish I had, or any topics we've not addressed that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
Well, I think, you know, one topic that continually comes up or we get asked is aren't robots the future of the warehouse? And I think Amazon actually helped us out in this respect, because customers encounter us and say, why would I want to, you know, invest in a platform that just supports human beings? You know, everything's going to be automated in the future. There's just going to be robots everywhere, right? And Amazon this week, meaning today's March 23rd, put out an article around they still feel that a fully automated warehouse is more than 10 years away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I saw that.
So Amazon, who has an unlimited R&D budget, who has the ability to build their own applications, build their own robots, build everything that they need all on their own, they agree.
Who are building shops without checkouts.
Correct. Right there. They've automated the checkout and the Amazon Go stores. It's just amazing. It's amazing technology. Even they have said in our warehouses, we will not be fully automated for another decade. And so that then they're a leader in the industry, right? And then the rest of the industry will follow along. So human beings are still the most efficient way to pick product, you know, regardless of location, whether you're in Latin America, Europe, or Asia, or the United States, human beings are still part of that labor force. And our platform aims to, again, just make the labor force a little bit more efficient, a little bit more safe, and bring more transparency to that logistics environment.
Superb. Superb. Michael, that's been great. If people want to know more about yourself or about Fulfilled or any of the topics we've talked about today, where would you have me direct them?
I'd have them go to fulfilled.io. That's FULFILLD.io. Or you can always find us on the SAP store. Just search for Fulfilled.
Superb. Great. Michael, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.